Harper Audio presents Towards Zero by Agatha Christie, performed by Hugh Fraser.
Prologue, November the 19th. The group round the fireplace was nearly all composed of lawyers, or those who had an interest in the law. There was Martindale, the solicitor, Rufus Lord, K.C., young Daniels, who had made a name for himself in the Carstairs case, a sprinkling of other barristers, Mr. Justice Cleaver, Lewis of Lewis and Trench, and old Mr. Treves. Mr. Treves was close on 80, a very ripe and experienced 80. He was a member of a famous firm of solicitors, and the most famous member of that firm. He was said to know more of backstairs history than any man in England, and he was a specialist on criminology. Unthinking people said Mr. Treves ought to write his memoirs. Mr. Treves knew better. He knew that he knew too much. Though he had long retired from active practice, there was no man in England whose opinion was so respected by the members of his own fraternity. Whenever his thin, precise little voice was raised, there was always a respectful silence. The conversation now was on the subject of a much-talked-of case which had finished that day at the Old Bailey. It was a murder case, and the prisoner had been acquitted. The present company was busy trying the case over again and making technical criticisms. The prosecution had made a mistake in relying on one of its witnesses. Old de Pleach ought to have realized what an opening he was giving to the defense. Young Arthur had made the most of that servant girl's evidence. Bentmore, in his summing up, had very rightly put the matter in its correct perspective. But the mischief was done by then. The jury had believed the girl. Juries were funny. You never knew what they'd swallow and what they wouldn't. But let them once get a thing into their heads, and no one was ever going to get it out again. They believed that the girl was speaking the truth about the crowbar, and that was that. The medical evidence had been a bit over their heads. All those long terms and scientific jargon. Damned bad witnesses, these scientific johnnies. Always hemmed and hawed and couldn't say yes or no to a plain question. Always, in certain circumstances, that might take place, and so on. They talked themselves out, little by little, and as the remarks became more spasmodic and disjointed, a general feeling grew of something lacking. One head after another turned in the direction of Mr. Treves. For Mr. Treves had as yet contributed nothing to the discussion. Gradually it became apparent that the company was waiting for a final word from its most respected colleague. Mr. Treves, leaning back in his chair, was absent-mindedly polishing his glasses. Something in the silence made him look up sharply.
"Eh?"
he said.
"What was that? You asked me something?"
Young Lewis spoke. "We were talking, sir, about the Le Mans case." He paused expectantly.
"Yes. Yes," said Mr. Treves. "I was thinking of that."
There was a respectful hush.
"But I'm afraid," said Mr. Treves, still polishing, "that I was being fanciful. Yes, fanciful. Result of getting on in years, I suppose. At my age, one can claim the privilege of being fanciful if one likes."
"Yes, indeed, sir," said young Lewis, but he looked puzzled.
"I was thinking," said Mr. Treves, "not so much of the various points of law raised, though they were interesting, very interesting. If the verdict had gone the other way, there would have been good grounds for appeal, I rather think, but I won't go into that now. I was thinking, as I say, not of the points of law, but of the, well, of the people in the case."
Everybody looked rather astonished. They had considered the people in the case only as regarding their credibility or otherwise as witnesses. No one had even hazarded a speculation as to whether the prisoner had been guilty or innocent, as the court had pronounced him to be.
"Human beings, you know," said Mr. Treves thoughtfully. "Human beings. All kinds and sorts and sizes and shapes of 'em. Some with brains and a good many more without. They'd come from all over the place. Lancashire, Scotland. That restaurant proprietor from Italy. And that schoolteacher woman from South..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?